Here the Apostle Paul writes for us, and he talks about exalting Christ. He says we preach Christ, all right? That's what his message was. But I like what he says here in reference to who the Lord is. And he says in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4, he says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Have you ever wondered what Jesus would have looked like? You know, I know that there's lots of people that think they know what he looked like. And, you know, if you look at the various portraits and paintings and your children's Bible and other things, there's always pictures of Jesus, right? But do you really know what he looked like? I have to tell you, we really don't. We know that the scripture describes him somewhat. In the book of Isaiah, it says there was no form of beauty or comeliness that we should desire him. In other words, outwardly, he was not overly beautiful. He wouldn't have been overly ugly either. He was very normal in every way. When he was born in Bethlehem's manger, he was born in a very, in appearance anyways, very normal looking. He was a baby. And I'm sure when that baby came forth and took his first breath of air and breathing in the very air that he, as the Son of God, had created and filling his lungs with those air, what a sight that would have been for Mary and for Joseph and others that might have been gathered around that first Christmas day when Jesus was born in the manger of Bethlehem. Paul talks about this one, and he says this, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness." You know, the only way we can see anything is because of light. And he's referring to the creative act of God. Back there, when God spoke, he spoke light out of darkness. That's the book of Genesis, right in the opening verses. It says that, doesn't it? It says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then the Lord said that, didn't he? That God who was able to create light out of nothing. I can't do that, by the way. Neither can you. Only God can do that. He's shown forth his creative act in the fact that he is the all-powerful being, isn't he? So powerful that he can do that because he's God. But you know, when it came to showing us his creation, what he's really like, he had to do it in person. And he put on flesh. That's the Christmas story. He put on flesh. He became a baby. He was born. And he was born yet untainted with sin, because he was born miraculously, conceived in the virgin's womb. We've been singing about that tonight. You know, way back there at the very beginning, actually one of our hymns, the Christmas carols we sang about tonight, about the angels proclaiming the creation. And from creation, do you realize that the angels sang? The book of Job talks about that. And there's other portions of scripture also that talk about them, that referring to those that were the morning stars. The reference there is most likely to angels, not just the stars that are up in the sky. I mean, it says they sang at creation. They were there when he began to create the earth. They were there. Now, they were created themselves, but they were witness to those things. Jesus himself was before all creation. At least Christ, the Son, was. His name became Jesus when he took on that name when he was born. And the name Jesus means literally salvation. He took on the name of salvation because the greatest need all of us have is salvation from our sins. You see, when God came to show his way of reconciliation, his way of repentance, his way that would bring us back to him, redemption is the word, you know what? He had to do it in person. That's what Paul says here. And he says, "Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That phrase, "in the face of Jesus Christ," means the very person, when Jesus was here on earth, when people saw him and looked on him, they were looking on the very God who was showing us the way of salvation. When Mary took that baby born to her, and she lifted him up to look into his face, she was looking into the very face of God. The same one who spoke everything into existence. The same one who, by him, the Bible says, everything consists. That means presently he actually holds it all together. And if he willed, he could just let it fly apart into nothing. He could, but he doesn't. I'm so glad. That same one who did all that was the one who came, and he came in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the word face of Jesus Christ means. It means he had flesh and bone. He was identifiable. People could walk around in his day and see him and say, that's Jesus, because they recognized him. Just as I saw you guys come in tonight, and I recognized most of you. Now, there's a few people probably I don't know well, but there's most of you I know. And you know, you see me, this is a face you can't forget, right? And you'd like to, but you can't. And, you know, when Jesus walked here, people saw him. They identified him. Couldn't have done that without him coming in person. And that's the Christmas story. He's the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Without the light that he himself created, nobody could have seen him, by the way. You can't. You know, if you're blind, and some people lose their sight or are born blind and have different conditions with their eyes, and when they lose their sight, it's an awful thing, isn't it? Can you imagine having been born blind? I know of a few people that have, and of course the scriptures talk about people that were born blind, and you would have to rely on someone else to always describe stuff for you. It reminds me of the illustration of a preacher who was one day walking on a sidewalk. As he was walking along, he saw three girls, and they were looking into a store window. And two girls, one on either end of the third girl in the middle, they were describing what they were seeing in the window. And it was a beautiful display of dresses. And the little girl in the middle, the guy who was walking by, soon realized that she was blind, and she had no way of knowing what was there, except the two sisters on either side of her, because they were her sisters, described what was before her. You know, it's one thing for me to tell you tonight of what Jesus is like. It's another thing to look at him, behold him face to face. The people in the day of Jesus' time beheld him face to face. They were able to look at him and see him. Someday, if you are a believer, you will go into his very presence and you will see him. Our faith will be sight. Paul talks about that also. He also mentions this, he is shown in our hearts. He uses the analogy of physical light, light that emanates forth and shows us stuff and which originates with God, right? But he's also shown in our hearts. Do you realize that? That God is at work tonight, shining in the hearts of people to illuminate himself to them. He does that way. He does that through the Word of God. He does that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, as he's working tonight and he's shining forth in the hearts of people to reveal himself. It's always my prayer before I open up the Word of God that the Lord would be glorified. And I mean that. And that means that he would be the one that people see. Paul says he is the one who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, of course, include great details about the birth of Christ. Mark begins right away with the ministry of Christ at about age 30, right? And it doesn't start with the birth of Christ. John, the gospel of John, starts with the eternality of Christ, the son who was given at Bethlehem's manger. The child there was born, but the son was given, right? In John's gospel, he says this, and sounds much like what Paul was talking about there. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Did you catch that last phrase? Light of men. This same one who here John identifies him by his eternal title, he's the Word. He's the one who is the final highest concept of God, the Word, the Logos. And he's the one who came. And he's not only the one that came, but he's the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. And he goes on to say this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you want to know and receive the revelation of God, you'll only find it in the person of Jesus Christ. That's really where it is seen. He goes on to say this, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, means did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And it says, this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. May I just remind you tonight that Christ is the one who's the light. And you know what? Everybody else that comes behind him, that knows him, you know what? We're called to testify of that light. Back in April of 1990, I was in a prayer meeting in Aschaffenburg, Germany. And I remember just pouring my heart out to the Lord that night and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? I had just become a Christian about 2 years before that, a little less than 2 years before that. And I was asking the Lord to reveal his will for my life. You know, should I stay in the military? Should I go and do something else? Should I had this avenue and that avenue. And I came to this passage of scripture that night after I had prayed that prayer. And the Lord revealed from this very text that he wanted me to be a witness of the light. Very simple. He spoke to me right out of his word. That's how he speaks, by the way. He speaks out of his word. Usually within communion with our own hearts as we're open to that. And that's what he did. And I tell you that tonight, that's what he called me to do. But you know, he's called all of us to bear witness of that light in some way. And you can only bear witness of it if you know him personally, by the way. And you've trusted him by faith in that. That's part of that whole process of why Jesus had to come and be born in Bethlehem's manger. John writes this, and he says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Every man. That means this, that even by the fact that he is the creator God, you realize he's revealed himself to be there. Now, the specific way of salvation, that has to be specifically revealed through the word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the Bible says of itself. But you know that the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world, that means that even someone who's never heard of Christ, never heard of Jesus, never read the Bible, doesn't have access to it in their own language, whatever, they can actually look up to the heavens and say, wow, there must be something out there more powerful than me. He's given light. And the book of Romans says that the creation bears witness of the creator. Romans chapter 1, read it sometime and read on that. But he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Say, so why wouldn't they recognize the one who came as their very creator? Very simply, because sin came into the picture from the moment, from creation until that time when Jesus had to come, sin came into the picture. And you know what? We're blinded by our own sin. In and of our own selves, we are just like that girl standing in the middle looking at a window that she can't see, right? Without someone to come along and to tell us the way, without someone to come along and shine in our hearts, which is Christ himself. God himself does that, and that's his work. You cannot know him. But you know what? We're without excuse when the word of God comes to us in that. John goes on to say this, and he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. That was the Hebrew people. And by the way, they were the ones that had the word of God. They had the prophets. They had all those promises of the coming of the Messiah. And yet, as a nation, they rejected him. Now, thankfully, there were many that didn't reject him. There were many of the Jewish people that didn't reject him as well. And that's what he goes on to say. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And I like that. And you know his name is Jesus. We know that because that's how it was revealed to us. And that's the name the angel told Mary he was going to be called. Joseph, he'd be called Jesus. Matthew 1:21 says that. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name implies that we need salvation. Not him, but we do. And then in verse 13, he says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you know what? You're saved by the power of God and the work of God. It begins with God, by the way. It didn't begin there with Mary and Joseph somewhere wanting to have a baby. They weren't even married yet. Not in the consummation of a marriage. They were espoused. They were legally binding as far as a marriage contract goes in those days. And yet, she's found with child, a miraculous conception, a miraculous birth that would come as well. And I think of that because you realize we are, his work began with him, not with us. I'm so thankful for that tonight. And the Bible goes on to say this and identifies this one who's called the Word, at least in this section of Scripture, that's what he's called. Verse 14, one of the most, I think, powerful verses in all of Scripture. It says, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Very simply put, and I know this is all stuff that probably you've heard before, but you know what? The one who is identified as the Word put on flesh. That's what it says. That means that he didn't come in the appearance of a man, but he actually came as a man, the God-man. The Bible says he dwelt among us. The word to dwell there means to set up his tent among us, to tabernacle among us. That's the proximity. You know what? I could not go to him, but he came to me. I'm glad he did, because without him coming to our realm, we couldn't be saved. We couldn't celebrate his birth. We couldn't know anything about him without him beginning it. And it says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I think of that, and I'm just going to keep this as simple as I can tonight here. When Mary went and picked up that baby in Bethlehem's manger, baby born to her, she was looking into the very face of God. Veiled in that flesh was all the glory of the living God. Oh, I'm so thankful for that tonight. And I just ask you this before we move on here. We're going to sing and we're going to do our candlelight ceremony here that we do, or part of our service. And you know, do you know the Lord? Do you know him personally? The light that he gives us is available. It's right here in the Word of God. And you know what? It comes from him. And is he knocking on your heart door tonight by shining that light in there? And you know what? He wants you to come to him by faith. Very simple. Back in 1988, I've shared this before, 1987, at the Christmas season, a man gave me a Bible verse. It was from Matthew 1:21. He gave it to me on a piece of wood. It was etched in the wood there. And it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. I quoted that earlier. And I thought that was the strangest gift to give anybody. As a teenager in high school, finishing up my last year of high school, I thought, you know what? I could have, any other gift but that, right? Money. Money would have been a good thing. I worked a part-time job for $2.75 an hour. It basically covered my gas from Eagle Lake to Fort Kent back and forth. But I liked doing it. And I thought, boy, I could use a little extra dough. I could use some new thing, you know, whatever. Why would a guy give me a Bible verse about Jesus at Christmas? Thought it was strange. And yet, the Lord used that Bible verse to convict my heart, because I knew I was a sinner. And I knew that I needed help. I needed desperate help. I knew my sin condemned me. And then right on that Bible verse that stood out on that piece of wood, it says, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That began for me. Really, over the next few months, I asked a lot of questions about that. And I wanted to know who this Jesus was and what he was really about, if he truly was the Savior. And finally, in May of 1988, just before I graduated high school, I finally bowed my heart and my knee before the Lord and said, Lord, I believe, I trust you. Please come into my life. Live it for me. Forgive me of my sins. And you know what he did? Absolutely. And that's what the Bible says here, back there in the book of John. He says, they were born not of blood nor of the will of the flesh. It had nothing to do with me trying to get my sins removed. I couldn't do it. I knew that. I'd spent years trying to turn over a new leaf and get away from the things I was doing in secret and in open, with the sins that were always before me. And I could not do it on my own. And neither can you. See, it's not by the will of the flesh. It's not by birth. You might be born in a great family. That's good. But you're not born in a family that can save you from your sins. The only way you can be saved is being born from above, being born again. John chapter 3 talks about that. It says, nor the will of man, but of God. Very simply, the Bible says this, it's the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that's God's will for you tonight. That's God's will for me, and he wants us to do that. Well, I'm going to close in a word of prayer here, and before we're dismissed tonight, I've asked a couple men to come up. We're going to pass out some candles, and we're going to sing Silent Night together as well. Father, I thank you this evening that we can gather here, and we can celebrate your birth. We thank you that, Lord, you came so many centuries ago to walk among us, to camp among us, to show us the way. Thank you that in the person of Jesus Christ is all the glory of God. And tonight, Lord, as we again celebrate that, we're reminded of that. We pray for your word to go forth in our world, a world that is filled with darkness and evil things, and yet, Lord, a world where you've shown your light into it, and you walked these very same paths, Lord, that we walk. And yet you did it without sin. And you went to Calvary for us and died there on the cross, paying for our sins. Thank you for that tonight, Lord, and we just look to you to do great and mighty things in these days. And we commit our time, the rest of our time this evening, to, in your name, we pray. Amen.